want to think about or put out as a title, maybe, the scripture in Proverbs 3 and 5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding." And I want to just kind of start with that and leave that as a thought in your mind. Lean not to your own understanding. A little bit on that, of course, we all have understanding. And so the scripture isn't, I mean, honestly, the idea of having understanding not to lean on your understanding would be understanding that you would lean. That's not what's talking about. What it's talking about is not to overemphasize or realize that your understanding is not faulty. Okay? The idea is that you can get it wrong. Okay? Trust in the Lord, not your own understanding. Because your understanding will be faulty and the Lord's not. And so that's really the idea of it is to put the emphasis of our lives, actions, and all that we're doing on the Lord and not on our own understandings, because our own understandings can be riveted with a lot of inconsistencies, bad information, things that we assume. All of the human characteristics can be in what we presume to understand, and so therefore put more emphasis on the idea of the Lord's understanding. I'm going to use that as a title, but that's not the basis of my thought. Is going to be in the idea we've been talking about the children of Israel. And they're going in to the Canaan land. And we've used it the last two Sundays, and I want to build a little more on the idea of it before I get there with the next adventure of the children of Israel. For you to realize what this is about. The Old Testament, as we said before, is a schoolmaster. It is a shadow of the new. There is a lot of analogies. This isn't just my thinking. This is well founded in the scriptures. The scripture, New Testament scripture, lays this for us. That, for instance, the Passover, that is a Jewish custom. That was something that literally happened in Egypt. And the events that led up to that. But the whole idea of putting blood over the doorpost, it doesn't just stay there. That was a sharp analogy to our Christian lives. If we don't have the blood over the doorpost of our lives, we're not partakers. And the New Testament well founds the whole idea of passing under that cloud and the children of Israel leaving that land of bondage, which represented sin. And they crossed the Red Sea, which represented the barrier from Egypt and the crossing over and the pure deliverance out of a sin, a bondage, the world and all the bondage that it has, and the drug abuse and the carnal nature and the lust of the heart and all of that that binds people up into slaves. They're not slaves. Sin is a slave thing. And the analogy is that there was a Moses played the part of the Redeemer. He came and delivered them out of that. And there's a lot of details in that. So this is not just something that we thought about. It's well founded that there's analogies that we can draw from for our Christian lives. And the whole idea of the children of Israel and their wandering in the wilderness is an analogous many times, or most all the times, if not all the times, of a place that Christianities can get in. But there was a promised land. There was a land of promise. It wasn't just to get out of there, but there was a land of promise. There's a better place to go to. Now, a lot of the Christian world uses the promised land or the Canaan land, the crossing of the Jordan, as crossing into heaven. There's a lot of songs out there. There's a lot of doctrinal thoughts out there about that. But that really is very poor. It's a very poor analogy, because if it was true, then the analogy would mean is that when we get to heaven, we're going to have to fight for it. But that's not true. There's not going to be giant enemies. There's not going to be giants in the land. There's not going to be walled cities in heaven. All of those things are analogous of a Christian life here. But there's another crossing of the Jordan There's a place that denotes us as something different. The original band of people that crossed the Red Sea did not go into Canaan. They wandered in the wilderness. And it denotes a whole different mindset and view of people that was able to go across the Jordan into a sanctified life. But you'll notice even with, if you want to label them as faithful, sanctified, given to the Lord, there was all these battles. Well, that's the way I see life too. To be honest with you, that's the way I've seen my Christian life too. I don't think the deeper devotions means that you have less battles. I think the deeper devotion means you just have one with you more that conquers the battles. You conquer more land. You get more, but you're in more battles and more into it more than you was. So here's the setting that I want us to realize is that there is an analogy here of the people of God, and we're looking at this as the lives that God's people, us, face. They face, as we had the present, they face Jericho. Then they face the failures. Can you live that kind of a life and have failures? Can failures be around us? Can we go backwards? Can we hit a reverse? We're learning that. And then the whole thing of AI and how the faithful ones had to come through this idea, and now they come up to another place that. And that's the way I want us to look at it in our minds, as God's people moving on, moving into things, and some of the things that we may face are giving us in here an analogy for us to learn better. Okay? We're supposed to learn better. So in the 9th chapter of Joshua, I want to set the setting here of this. What happened here, without reading it all, and some of it's a little cumbersome, not all the words are hard, but it's a little cumbersome to read. So I'm just going to say that in the 3rd verse it says, "And when the inhabitants of Gibeon heard that Joshua had done unto Jericho and Ai, that they did work wildly, and went and made as if they had been ambassadors, and took old sacks upon their asses, and wine bottles, and old and rent and bound up, and old shoes and clouded up on their feet, and old garments upon them, and all the bread of their provisions was dry and moldy. And they went to Joshua and to the camp of Gilgal, and said unto them and to the men of Israel, We come from a far country, now therefore make a living with us. And the men of Israel said unto the Hivites, Peradventure ye dwell among us, and how shall we make a league with you? And they said unto Joshua, We are thy servants. And Joshua said unto them, Who are ye, and from whence come ye? And they said unto him, From a very far country thy servants are come, because of the name of the Lord thy God, for we have heard the fame of him, and all that he did in Egypt, and all that he did to the two kings of the Amorites, and were beyond Jordan, to Shilon, king of Hezbon, and to Og, and king of Bashan, and which is at Ashtaroth. Wherefore our elders and all the inhabitants of the country spake unto us, Take victuals with you for your journey, and go meet them, and say unto them, We are your servants, therefore now make a league with us. This our bread we took hot from our provisions out of our houses on the day that we come forth to go unto you. But now, behold, it is dry and is moldy. And these bottles of wine which we filled were new, and behold, they be rent. And these our garments and our shoes are become old by reason of the very long journey. And the men took of their victuals and asked not counsel of the Lord." Taking the bread, taking the victuals, was an ancient sign and custom of acceptance. We're going to share of that, and we're going to do it. And so here was the setting of this situation. These people tricked them. Now we're looking at analogies of Christian life. tricked them here with all of the things that looked right. All of the information that gives human understanding. Who could come up with anything else? How could you say anything else? So if you read the rest of this, you'll find out that Joshua and all the men of war and all, they made a link with them, and they made a sacrifice, and they went through the ritual that they swore themselves that they would not harm these people. What would you do? This is a scrupulous question. What would you do if you swore to do something, which I could make an argument against swearing, but we're going to say, what would you do if you promised to do something and then you found out that the Lord didn't want you to promise that? Hey, it happens. What would you do if you done, if you told or you made you obligated yourself to something that you find out later that the Lord absolutely does not want you to do? It's called a dilemma. You know the Lord don't want you to compound doing one thing wrong by doing something else. If you made a promise, the Lord has already told us to keep to do that. So you place yourself into a situation by doing that that you got to live with consequences. Okay? What the children of Israel here did, they got themselves into a situation where they had sworn to these people and made all the necessary, if you want to say, there wasn't proper legal documents the way we do it today, but in their time and culture, they made every legal provision for that, they could not break that after they done that. Okay? So they had set themselves up that they wasn't going to. Now, this is what they did. These were not believers. They believed God had done those things for them. But what they had allowed to happen was going to be generational to the children of Israel. It was going to affect them, their children, and their children's children. They had brought into their bosom a false God believing people. They had brought them in as an influence and had promised that they would not. Now, listen, this is another thing we got to realize in these passages. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood. We don't fight carnal battles, carnal wars. When we look at this and where the scripture talks about the annihilation of people, the analogy is not the amount that we're going to annihilate people. We're to love everybody. It's an analogy of the false things and the zero tolerance that we have towards sinful idolatries and things like that. That's what the analogy is all about. So the children of Israel now have taken into themselves an idolatrous people and took into themselves a generational problem that pans out, that follows down through the generations as a problem to them, all because of one thing. They leaned to their own understanding. They went only by what they could see, and I really want to touch on this aspect of it. It says, and the men took of their victuals, they believed them, so they started the sharing, and it says, and they asked not counsel at the mouth of the Lord. Do you know that as Christians, this is our primary way of settling issues? This is our number one way of finding out something. This is what's placed here for our admonition. Instead of making that link and then finding out later that I've swore to something that God didn't want me to do, the idea is find out what God wants you to do. Ask at the mouth of the Lord. Find out what the Lord wants you to do. In this world today, we can set and make sound arguments about should do. And we do this sometimes. And sometimes we'll have these issues. Well, should I go? Should a Christian go to a place like this or not? We've had those thoughts, right? And I can give you all of the argument, counter arguments for it. You'll say, well, we shouldn't because we don't do this, this, and this. And so if we don't do this, this, and this, why should we do this? Or I can say, we do this, this, and this, so why not do this? We better think about asking at the mouth of the Lord. What I allow in as a solid place in my life will most likely affect my children. Right? If it holds true, it most likely will affect my grandchildren. If it holds true, it might most likely affect their children and their children's children. And it all could be inaccurate. It could all have been a bad idea to start with, or something that God said. What I know, God can do anything, but I'm telling you, there's orders to the universe, and if you do say you swear to do something, God's going to hold you accountable for swearing to do something. Because you said you'd do it. You didn't ask at the Lord's mouth to say whether it was what you should have done, but you said you're going to do it. Now you have to do it because you said you're going to do it, so there's going to have to be a plan A, B, where God's going to try to work with idolatry in your life. Because you said you weren't going to do it. Now you've got to deal with something else and something else. Do you see the problem that arises from the beginning stages of leaning towards our own understanding? It's why the scripture says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lord, should we make a leap with these people? They just got over there. I know they was ambitious. I know they wanted to do something. They get over there. They think they know the answers because the bread was moldy and dry. Their shoes were worn. Their clothes was worn. Their wine sacks was worn and old and broken. Surely they come from a long, long, long ways away. You know, the Lord knew where they came from. The Lord knew what their intentions was. And the Lord also knows why he said to not take them in to start with. Because they're going to be an influence into your life way, way, way down the road. This comes down to what we always say. I believe it can work collectively. I do. But this is made for individuals. This is made. Do you know that it's possible that I have things in my life that will affect me greatly that won't affect you? There's a possibility that there's things that I can go to the Lord with and say, Lord, everybody else does it. Right? Can I do it? I don't know. I just want to tell you that things ought to be at the mouth of the Lord. Years ago, I was in the market for a vehicle, and Brother Mansell had come to me and said that a certain person had a vehicle. It was a little Toyota truck, as I remember. They want to sell this for, it seems to me like the price was like, you know, a couple thousand dollars. It was a real good buy. And I said, well, that sounds really, really good. And so, but I did something. I earnestly started praying about it. And I prayed about it, and I could get no positive answer on that truck at all. I'll be honest with you, I wanted it. But I wanted a clearness about it. And so I prayed about it, and I feel very positive that the Lord said to me, no. Well, like Brother Larry used to say, what don't you understand about no? Pretty easy to understand. So I told Brother Larry, no, I'm not interested. Tell him I'm not interested. I don't think the Lord wants me to do it. So sometime later, Brother Manson tells me, he said they're going to take $1,500 for that. said no. You know, we can justify. Maybe he said no for that. So I started praying again. Lord, I couldn't feel. I had to come back and say, no. I don't feel like the Lord. I don't feel like I can do that. I don't feel like the Lord's in it. You know, it wasn't long before he said he'd take $1,000 for that truck. Well, maybe that's why the Lord didn't let me get it the other two times. I prayed until I felt like the third time the Lord was specific in the answer. It wasn't just that I didn't feel like it was yes. It was more like, I've told, this is the third time. No. No is the answer. And I told Brother Mansell, I feel like the Lord said no. And if he comes back and says he'll give me that truck, you tell him no. The Lord said no. Now, can I tell you why? No. I don't know why, but I'm very confident that there was a reason that the Lord said no. And isn't that what we really want? What the Lord knows and how he does things? And when we say, should I go talk to so-and-so about something? And the Lord says, no. But I really think I should. No. But they really need it. No. Don't you know that the Lord knows more than you do? Don't you know you can cause a problem that will be generational? You may not get along with them anymore, and neither maybe your children may not. I mean, maybe generational, you can cause a lot of troubles outside of the will of God. And so they wanted to do this. No doubt they wanted to do this. They're going back and live with these people. No doubt of that. But they didn't ask at the mouth of the Lord, because what the mouth of the Lord would have said, if Joshua would have got serious and went to the Lord would have said, turn your sword on Gibeon. Really? But they're just these people from a long ways off. No, they're not. They're right over the mountain right there. And they're trying to infiltrate you and put something into your Israel's life that I'm going to have to try to deal with for all the rest of the time, because you can't remove them out of there. I've just got to try to get you to the place while it's in there. I'm saying for you to get rid of that. We ain't careful. We take on influences by not asking at the mouth of the Lord that we don't really even understand why it's there. But there's a lot of scriptures that confirms this idea. Scriptures that say things like, you have not because you ask not. You didn't ask. And if you ask, you'll receive. Knock and it shall be open. If you'll reach out for this, since you can have it. Brother Mark Payne and I was talking the other day, and he told me, he said, I asked him if he got his buck, and he said something to the effect, said no. He said that it didn't show up in about 30 minutes, and so I thought that was long enough. No, he said, and he ended up saying, I went up there in about 30 minutes, and he said, I looked at it this way, if the Lord wanted to send me a deer, he could do it in a half hour. I said, well, there ain't no doubt about that. If he wanted you to have a deer, he could have had it waiting on you up there. That's true. But there's more scriptures than that one. I said, you remember the lady that had the enemies that went before the unjust judge? And he said, I don't fear God nor man, because this widow woman continuously, she annoys me. She's aggravating. She's going to worry me to death. She just kept it coming, kept importuning. She said, I'm going to grant her a petition. Jesus said, that's my present. Brother Mark, you maybe wasn't up there long enough. There's more to it than that. But we have the privilege of being able to ask the Lord about these things. And yes, not only is it a privilege that we have, it's a safeguard. We have the right to be able to say, I'm going to tell you, don't look at God as some being that's a way off, that's not contactable. He's very accessible. Paul says on Mars Hill that he's nigh to each one of ye. The language means that a blind man can grope. You can touch. He's touchable. He's right there. You can have the answers to your problems. And many people say, well, it doesn't seem that way. I ask and I ask and I never really get it. But I want to say to you that God answers things in different ways. Sometimes it's almost like you hear His voice. You ever been there to where you just, it's almost like He speaks a word. I mean, it's so real. It's not actually in your eardrums, but it's into your consciousness so loud that you say, He spoke to me in this way. You know, there's other times that He gives a very still, small voice, an inkling of an understanding, something that you know. Even though you don't know why, you know it's an impression. It's something that you sense and feel the confidence and know it's God. You ever been there? And know it's the Lord that answered that. But you have not because you asked not. And here's a situation that was so important. They didn't ask at the mouth of the Lord. And now they've made a promise and have a link that's going to go down with you, them, all of them. And they wasn't able to root it out. Because they had said they wouldn't. And right there it is. It was a place of something that happened in their life. I call it Plan B. But we want to stick to Plan A. Plan B can have more problems in it. We had the story of Hezekiah this morning, and they always wondered about Hezekiah's the original plan. And God said, 30-some years old, but He said to him, your time's up. Your time's up. Well, if God would say that, maybe, Lord, that's best. Maybe, Lord, your way's best in all of this. Lord, is there something else that I can do? If it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But if not, thy will be done. Let me accomplish God's will about these things. So these folks asked not at the mouth of the Lord. And they ended up finding out. We'll go on and read it. Joshua made peace with them and made a league with them to let them live. And princes of the congregation swear unto them. And it came to pass at the end of 3 days after they had made a league with them, that they heard that they were their neighbors, and that they dwelt among them. And the children of Israel journeyed and came to their cities on the third day. Now there were cities, Gibeon, Sabaran, Beeroth, and Kirjath, I can't really say them, Jeram. And the children of Israel smote them not, because the princes of the congregations had sworn unto them by the Lord of God of Israel. And all the congregations murmured against the princes. But all the princes said unto all the congregation, we have sworn unto them by the Lord God of Israel. Now therefore, we may not touch them. This we will do to them. We will even let them live, lest wrath be upon us because of the oath which we swear unto them. And the princes said unto them, let them live, but let them be hearers of words and drawers of waters unto all the congregation, as the princes had promised them. Now, here we go again, and that's what happened, and that's a good way of justifying. Remember, we're looking at analogies here. That's a good way to justify having something there. Well, look at the good. Look at what we get out. You ever heard that? Look at what good we get out of this. It ended up being a real blessing to have them here. They cut our wood. They draw our water. We'll let them live. But now we have these servants in here, and it's all really, really good now. Our understanding is that it's good. You think the Lord would have called that good? If He had called it good, they would have done that to Jericho. If He had called that good, He'd have done it to Ai. It wasn't good. It wasn't what the Lord they were leaving elements of sin in their lives. They're getting the most out of it the best they can. It's like watching ungodly, filthy things and saying, that one episode was so encouraging. So Sir, it's encouraging. Get a little bit out of there. I used to say it's like diving in a septic tank for a dime. A dime's a good thing, but you wouldn't want to get that stinking over it. It's not that worth that. And that's what they're dealing with here now. And now they've justified it down. We have good. We got slaves. We got servants. And now we'll prosper even more. The Lord's blessed us. No. You didn't inquire at the mouth of the Lord. And now you've got something in your life that you're going to have to deal with more honestly than that to make sure that the influence of those people that's there doesn't filtrate into your midst. And you know what happened? The influence of those people infiltrated into Israel's life. And they were battled idolatry all the way through this experience in Canaan to where they had got this promised land of where milk that it flows with milk and honey and all of this, and you can go conquer it and win it. And all at the same time, their number one downfall was the fact that they could never keep their mind only on the Lord. We don't have the same system now. It's an analogy. We have the same thing now in an analogy. It's really, really hard for us to keep our minds and hearts on the Lord and only on the Lord because of all of the other things that's our servants. They're our servants. They're helping us through the day by entertaining us. They're helping us through the day by doing things for us and getting us along. But what it ends up being is it's really, really hard to keep our minds and our hearts and trust in the Lord with all of our heart and not lean to our own understanding when we see these things coming more and more. Some things we might have to see the sacrifice of them. I don't know where to place it in this day and time. I can only be the preacher to point you to the one that's got the answers. Someone said to me recently, I want some advice from you. I want some counsel. I need some counsel about something. And I'll tell you what my answer was. On a complex issue, I can give you some points that I've learned in life. But the bottom line is you're going to have to ask the Lord. You're going to have to find out from the Lord because that's a specific issue. And I don't know what the other person's involved is. I don't know that they'll ever be saved or not, but the Lord does. I don't know if they can have a tender heart or not. I don't know. The Lord knows. I don't know that they would take a rebuke. The Lord knows. I don't know. But the Lord knows. So what you do it prayerfully. Make sure that you've asked at the mouth of the Lord and that you can positively say, the Lord has given me this. Has anyone in here ever had a dream that they said, the Lord gave me that dream? Yeah. Has anyone in here ever said that you was in prayer and the Lord spoke in an audible way to you? Yes. Have you ever just said, the Lord just inspired me? Yes. He influenced me? Yes. Don't think of God as a God that can't be touched. But think of a God that is there waiting on his people. He said to Joshua, if you will be my people, I will be your God. Now, he didn't stop that. Do you know that he was sitting in his office waiting for them to be his people? His office was God. I'm sitting here being God, waiting for you to be my people. And my people ask at my mouth. My people know that they need led by me. And he was in his place waiting for them to ask, and he didn't ask. He was waiting in them to for his response. I'm going to tell you, God could have showed them how wily they were being without them asking. But he didn't. But he was sitting there ready to. He was ready to uncover them at their request. He always wanted them to make him their God. That's what we say when we say we worship the Lord? Well, we do it on Sunday mornings, which about through. Our worship service is about through. Well, I hope worship goes on at a minute after 12. If you understand what I'm saying. We only come here as a charging station or as an encouragement. We come here to meet together. We don't come here and call it all. Actually, there's more outside than there is inside. God, Lord, help us. If we're going to be God's people, He's going to have to be our God. That means, and we are this way, and I thank God for it, but I want to encourage it more. That means for the ones that's in school with tests, that God can help you with your test. That means if you're going to go somewhere in a vehicle that you're not, God can help you with your vehicle. Brother Keith, it means that you're going to park a truck where you never believed you can. It means that God can be with us and is supposed to be, and we're supposed to look to Him like He's our God. He's our God. You get up in the morning, I hope you get up with God. So, in the places of our life, how many things have we failed? Because we didn't ask at His mouth. How many different places have we said, Lord? We didn't say, Lord, this is my understanding. And I got it right. And there's an element in there that you never seen or knew. There's a place in there that you couldn't know it about. And I want to close, but I just want to say this. God's real. And I've told this story many times. It was very, I read it in a book one time. It was Chicago years ago. And there was some people there in a little congregation, and they were wanting to be fervent for God. So it was mainly led by the pastor's wife, and the pastor's wife got them together, and they were going to go out and work for the Lord in the streets. And so they got their plans and their understanding, and they went out there and they started working for God the way they thought they should, and they kept doing it, and it wasn't prospering, nothing. It become disappointing. The pastor's wife ends up going, and she told him one day, you go out and give out the food, or go witness to the people. You all do our plan, and I'm going to stay and pray, because something's not right. And while she was in prayer, her testimony was, while she was in prayer, the Lord gave her a vision of a street sign and an apartment building with a number on it, and she saw it vividly in her mind, that scene. So she goes in, and her husband's there. It was in the pastor's study of the church, and she goes in and asks her husband, I think it was Lincoln Street. Is there a Lincoln Street in Chicago? Yeah, I think so. I don't know. And she said she saw this, and so they said, well, let's go, because I felt like the Lord gave me this vision. And so they go, and sure enough, hey, there's Lincoln Street. And she's driving along, saying, well, there it is. That's the building right there. And so she goes up and she knocks on the door, and she listens, and she can hear a sound in there. And what had happened, there was an old Christian lady that was there that had fallen. She'd been there 2 days on the floor or something like that. She couldn't get to a phone or nothing like that. And she was laying there and she just was praying, God, send me help. You didn't ask. When the pastor said, Lord, what can I do for you? Lord, help me to know. We don't know what to do. What can we do to touch people? Well, I have somebody that's been yelling for 2 days. I'll send you to them. Understand what I'm saying? God could have done something before that, but God has a way of working with us humans and bringing us together.
Yes.
You have a desire to work for the Lord. Can I tell you something? Oh, put feet on it. Just put feet on it. But don't go running before you prayed. Don't go running before you know what the Lord wants you to do, because the prosperity of it will be in the Lord. You know what the Lord might tell you to do? Oh, you might want to go. You might want to do all this stuff. You know what the Lord might say to you? You stay here and pray. I'll send somebody else. Lord, I want to go. Stay here and pray. There's a necessity here. You follow the necessity, and the Lord will answer prayer. This, what the Lord wanted of these people at this time, He wanted to be their God. He kept trying to tell them, I want you to make this point. This was in the land of Canaan. This happened in the promised land. This happened in one of the struggles of God's people. No doubt it's happened with us. And this is the lesson that's given to us to get it from the mouth of the Lord. And I think that we have, each one of us have a right as an individual. I think it's for the individual to have a contact with the Lord. There is no vicar of the Son of God. You don't have to have a go. Jesus is the go-between between us and God. We don't need a man to go between. We don't need somebody to approve your prayers or tell you you're forgiven or you pay them a little money and they say your penance is okay. We don't have that. We have a direct access to all of this for ourselves. And so let's not forget to ask at the mouth of the Lord. You pray for me. I want